poem came back to me over and over again with amazing clarity. Early October saw the death of the uncle of Noboru Wataya, who had served as Niigata's representative to the lower house. He suffered a heart attack shortly after midnight in his hospital bed in Niigata, and by dawn, despite the doctor's best efforts, he was dead. The death had long been anticipated, of course, and a general election was expected shortly, so the uncle's supporters lost no time in formalizing their earlier plan to have Noboru Wataya inherit the constituency. The late representative's vote-gathering machinery was solidly based and solidly conservative. Barring some major unforeseen event, Noboru Wataya's election was assured. The first thing that crossed my mind when I read the article in a library newspaper was how busy the Wataya family was going to be from now on. The farthest thing from anybody's mind would be Kumiko's divorce. The black and blue mark on my face neither grew nor shrank. It produced neither fever nor pain. Little by little I forgot I even had it. I stopped trying to hide the mark by wearing sunglasses or a hat with the brim pulled down low. I would be reminded of it now and then when I went out shopping and people would stare at me or look away, but even these reactions stopped bothering me after a while. I wasn't harming them by having a mark on my face. I would examine it each morning when I washed and shaved, but I could see no change. Its size, color, and shape remained the same. The number of individual human beings who voiced concern about the sudden appearance of a mark on my cheek was exactly 4. The owner of the cleaning shop by the station, my barber, the young man from the Omura off-license, and the woman at the counter of the local library. In each case, when asked about it, I made a show of annoyance and said something vague, like, "I had a little accident." They would mumble, "My, my," or, "That's too bad," as if apologizing for having mentioned it. I seemed to be growing more distant from myself with each day that went by. If I stared at my hand for a while, I would begin to feel that I was looking through it. I spoke with hardly anybody. No one wrote to me or called. All I found in my mailbox were bills and junk mail, and most of the junk mail consisted of designer brand catalogs addressed to Kumiko, full of colorful photos of spring dresses and blouses and skirts. The winter was a cold one, but I sometimes forgot to turn on the heat, unsure whether the cold was real or just something inside me. I would throw the switch only after a look at the thermometer had convinced me that it really was cold. But even so, the cold I felt did not diminish. I wrote to Lieutenant Mamiya with a general description of what had been happening to me. He might be more embarrassed than pleased to receive the letter, but I couldn't think of anyone else I could write to. I opened with that exact apology. Then I told him that Kumiko had left me on the very day he had visited my house, that she had been sleeping with another man for some months, that I had spent almost 3 days at the bottom of a well thinking, that I was now living here all alone, and that the keepsake from Mr. Honda had been nothing but an empty whiskey box. Lieutenant Mamiya sent me an answer a week later.
"To tell you the truth, you have been in my thoughts to an uncanny degree since we last met. I left your home feeling that we really ought to go on talking, to spill our guts to each other, so to speak. And the fact that we did not has been no small source of regret to me. Unfortunately, however, some urgent business had come up which required me to return to Hiroshima that night. Thus, in a certain sense, I was very glad to receive a letter from you. I wonder if it was not Mr. Honda's intention all along to bring the two of us together. Perhaps he believed that it would be good for me to meet you, and for you to meet me. The division of keepsakes may well have been an excuse to have me visit you. This may explain the empty box. My visit to you itself would have been his keepsake. I was amazed to hear that you had spent time down in the well, for I, too, continue to feel myself strongly attracted to wells. Considering my own close call, one would think that I would never have wanted to see another well, but quite the contrary. Even to this day, whenever I see a well, I can't help